Boom, 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 boom. Oh.
This podcast has at least 100 laughs in it. Golden Circle produces more than 100 products like yummy fruit juices, sparkling juice and cordial. Pour some sunshine and share it around this summer with Golden Circle. A funny and sunny good day with everyone. Golden Circle. Share sunshine.
Boom, 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 boom.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yes, it is for your Thursday afternoon. And what an interesting show we have today.
And you know what? We just said there, we're talking about Golden Circle, and it said a sunny day with Golden Circle. Is it a sunny day? Is it a rainy day? Is it a cloudy day? Tommy, meteorologist Tommy, you just blew our minds before we went to air. Tell everybody.
Well, I had a flying lesson last night and we were learning about weather and they said that meteorology is less accurate at the moment than it's been for years because some of their data that they use comes from jets flying around who ping data back.
And there's no planes in the
air. And because there's less planes in the air,
that's crazy.
There is less data around, so it will be less accurate than it's been. Do you want to know another little thing?
Right, of course I do.
So a lot of the wind data that they use for flying also comes from
other planes.
Comes from planes. And so if you're flying somewhere like South America, your weather information will be less accurate when you're flying because there are less planes around in general than if you're flying, say, Europe and something like that.
So what normally happens is a plane goes over and then do they radio back to the what the experience was to the plane that's on its way? So you kind of know about the journey?
No, it pings up to satellites. Just every half an hour it'll ping conditions.
Right.
Because
and then that all goes into a...
Yeah.
Is Tommy making you confident that you could fly with him? He's sounding pretty smart.
Especially with no other planes in the air at the moment to tell us about the winds, I'm definitely not going up.
But you know the good thing about no other planes in the air, less planes to hit.
Wow.
It's not the other planes. It's not hitting other planes that's what's worrying me. It's hitting the ground that's what's worrying me.
Well, at some point you've got to hit the ground. It just depends with how much impact. Otherwise you're just flying forever.
Stop. What have we got coming up on the show today?
There's so much coming up on the show.
You're going to find out how you can win some cash on the show today.
Yes, that is happening. Also, we are going to bring your mum back to make amends for you slamming her on air. You shamed her in front of the whole nation.
Shame her?
You did. You said, who cares about her Christmas letter that she spends months
writing?
Well, I've
spent all morning reading our old Christmas letters, so this should be an interesting conversation.
I just can't believe it. What we've got coming up next.
We have an erection coming up next.
We have an erection. That's good enough. That's good enough. Stay tuned to find out who's.
Carrie and Tommy for your Thursday afternoon.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And Raspberry. Those three ones together are magnificent.
Do you know what I love? A good old breakfast juice.
Oh.
Delicious. Get that into you.
Now, you can have your breakfast juice at lunch or dinner as well.
Yes.
Not specifically for breakfast.
It actually feels pretty it feels pretty badass to have breakfast juice at dinner.
I could have breakfast for dinner and be perfectly happy.
No, you couldn't.
I could.
No, you couldn't.
I could.
You couldn't.
I do. Breakfast is my favourite meal of the day.
That's such a bad choice. You're so much happier having dinner at breakfast.
No. Not ready for dinner at breakfast time. Too many flavors.
So while I'm having lasagna for breakfast, you're having what? Wheat Bix for dinner? A bircher for dinner. I said something just offhand. It was meant as a passing comment.
It was dismissive. That's what it was.
No, I didn't expect it to spark such a discussion about it. It was just a tent in your backyard.
So on the weekend, Chris, my partner, thought he'd be fun dad and he pitched a tent in the backyard and Evie and him slept in it for the night and they had such a glorious time. And I'll be honest, leading into the night, inside, internally, I was laughing to myself at the idea of Chris putting up a tent because Chris and camping don't really go hand in hand. Yes. In fact, he's never camped, I don't reckon, the whole time I've known him or his whole life. But he put this tent up and they camped and it went without a hitch and then he put the tent down and he even packed the tent away into its tiny little tent container and it was very sexy.
Was it?
Yeah. I was into it. I was into just how manly
he
was.
You kept saying, I can't believe he put up a tent. And so don't tents take like 2 minutes to put up?
No, it took about probably, I reckon, 40 minutes.
I feel like
dome. It took longer to put down.
I feel like dome tents take like...
You literally said, I could put up that tent in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Where did he watch the footy? Did he come inside to watch the footy or did he watch
it? On his phone.
So Evie was in the tent with him watching
asleep,
the footy.
And then he watched the footy.
Oh, okay. I thought, what a camping trip for Evie.
Yeah, anyway, fortunately for you, we still have the tent.
Yes.
So if you're going to shoot your mouth off and say you can erect a tent in 5 minutes, I'm going to put you to the test and let's see if you can erect the tent in 5 minutes. Should we put some tunes back on?
Did you say shoot?
What?
Did you say shoot your mouth off?
Yeah, shoot
okay,
your mouth
sorry.
Off.
Sorry, you said it quickly. And I thought,
isn't that an expression?
Yeah, I just thought you said. Yeah. I thought you said.
No.
Okay.
No, shoot
okay.
your mouth off.
Okay, so we're going to put the
tent up. We're going to put a song on and you're going to go put a tent up.
What are we going to do for the other 4 minutes?
Oh, good luck. 30, 10, 6 10. If you've got any tent advice too.
We'll do it next. It's Carrie and Tommy.
Do erection advice.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Salt and Peppers, What a Man for your Thursday afternoon.
Song.
Yeah, What a Man indeed. If you're just joining us, Tommy Little is going to try and put a tent up in, what did he say?
Because... Well, so my partner Chris had a tent night on Saturday night and he said it took the best part of an hour to get his tent up. And Tommy reckons he can get his tent erected in 5 minutes, which is ridiculous. So, out is gone. You just turned me off, Sunday. You've just turned the mic off. There we are, back on. Out is gone into my backyard to erect his tent. 131060, call us if you have any advice for Tommy or if you just want to tell him he's dreaming. Are you there, Tommy?
Yeah, I've just heard how unprofessional our show sounds from a listener's point of view. It's shocking. Was that just Sonda talking off a microphone?
No, she just turned my mic off while I was talking.
Thank you for playing my victory song before I even started there, guys. I'm feeling pretty good. I've got the tent in the bag and the poles here in the bag. Am I ready to start?
Ready?
Set.
Ready? Yep. And we've got a little opener for you as well. Ready? Okay. Here's your opener and then you can start.
Tommy Adventures. Tommy.
All right.
Get to
I'm
it.
Off.
5 minutes. So you're off.
I've taken out. There's two pieces. This is what I thought. Yep. The ground meshy piece. It's out. That's the main piece I need. And your partner walks is watching on and he's looking impressed by what he can see in front of him. He even just went, wow. I mean, sure, you didn't hear it, but he did it, definitely. Don't check that with me.
Okay, so how many pieces? Yep, so you said it's easy.
Broken.
It's not broken.
Mate, my pole's broken. I can't erect
a broken
pole.
You can't say your pole's broken.
No, my pole's not broken, mate. Good luck erecting that.
Shh. We borrowed the tent from a friend. Do not say there's any broken poles, okay?
Mate, all the poles are broken. No wonder it took walks an hour.
Is this because you have to clip them together and you just...
You've got to clip them together, mate.
Come on, mate.
No, there's meant to be a string that goes down the middle of them. Guys, this tent is absolutely screwed. What did you guys do to this tent? You can't
Adam's on the line. Adam, how are you?
Yes, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. What do you think of Tommy's chances of erecting a tent in 5 minutes?
I reckon he's got it covered. I used to do it for a festival company over in Spain where we used to have to do hundreds at a time and we had the Tent Olympics and we set the record of a minute 40.
Oh,
a minute 40 to an erected tent.
Well, we're at a minute 30. Yeah. So, Tommy, are you almost done then, mate?
Oh, I'm actually not far off it.
I'm going to duck out. 131060, call us if you've got any advice for Tommy. I'm just going to duck out so I can see because the moment I can't see, I want to see your progress. Hold on, I'm going to duck out.
Yeah.
Tommy, how far through are you actually in doing this?
Jessie, I was actually hoping to use the magic of radio to trick pickers into thinking this was more done than it is.
She's on her way, mate.
Oh, okay. Okay, you've got one of the dome bits.
Yeah, this one's full of dirt, mate.
What's because it's been in the ground, mate? It's what happens when you go camping.
You're not meant to put that in the ground. That's where the peg bit on the edge of the tent meant to go. After an amateur's dealt with this tent, I can't be expected to work
with it. Well, don't get annoyed at me. I didn't erect it. Okay, so now you don't even have anything up yet. How many minutes are we, Jess?
We're almost halfway.
Oh, well, time flies when you're erecting.
You're a bit slow, mate.
Yeah, this is the longest erection ever.
Do you need a hand?
I mean, it usually makes it quicker. Oh, sorry. I've nearly taken walks as I there. Okay, I think
Chris
is
there watching
done.
You. If you need some help from a pro, I'm sure he'd lend a hand.
Oh, mate, you've filled up these things with dirt. This is... Oh, no. I don't suppose, Jessie, we can still trick pickers with the magic of radio and so the
tent's up. You can't trick me. I'm watching.
She's looking
I can
at
see.
You.
You've got nothing up yet. I'm watching.
That's terrifying.
Did you not know I was here?
We are. No. This is up at Carrie Tommy show on socials if you do want to go and check that out.
Oh, mate. Oh, when was the last time you pitched a tent?
I think this will be nearly done. That's not looking bad. Okay, I'm going the hook's over it now.
The hook's over the first side. Okay, you're not doing too bad. You've got the one dome piece done and now you're putting the tent stuff on. Yep.
We've got Tristan. Tristan's got a bit of advice for him.
Oh, okay, Tristan, what's your advice for Tommy?
What is it, Tristan?
Burn it and buy a swag.
When was the last time you went camping, Tommy?
It's a strong reminder of why I don't camp. I don't think, is this glamping count?
There's
definitely doesn't count because someone else has erected the tent when you glamp.
Some more opinions coming through on 131060, guys. We got Steely. What did you want to say, mate?
Mate, I just want to say, if you can't get it up in under 5 minutes, you need to step aside and let your wife have a go.
Also, guys.
Hey, you know what? He can let his work wife have a go, Steely. If he can't get it up in 5 minutes, I'm going to step in and I'm going to finish the rest of the tent.
Guys, we only have 50 seconds to go.
It's not looking bad.
It isn't looking bad, actually.
Again, at Carrie Tommy Show on socials.
This is going to really annoy me
if you want to check it out.
Nah, he's not got it. He's still got a quarter of it to get up.
No, that's not bad.
It's not bad, though. You've got
30 seconds. 30 seconds.
You haven't fully. Don't throw it over yet. Yeah. He's now trying to throw the top coat over before he's fully got the inside sorted. You've got to go to our Carrie and Tommy socials to see this. This is ridiculous. Mate,
that's
there could be a small child sleeping under there. You can't have it like that.
Yeah, that's why you only need
10 seconds. How's he looking, Biggers?
That's not oh, my God. I think he's going to... Well, I mean, he's done a dodgy job, but the tent is up.
Voila!
It's not bad. It's not bad. Can you go over and see how Chris feels about it?
And freestanding. Freestanding. Yep. Walks... How do you feel? Give us a ranking out of 10.
It's going to be a thunderstorm tonight, so you're sleeping in there?
No.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Carrie and Tommy, driving you home for your Thursday afternoon. It's time for this.
Make any night in the perfect one with Dr. Oetker Ristorante. Pizzeria taste. Surprisingly, from your freezer.
Here's a wheel of joy and fun. You want a pizza? This. This wheel is really yum. You want a pizza? This. There's 10K there for you to win. You want a pizza? This. Time to give the wheel a spin. You want a pizza? This.
Oh, yeah.
I do want a pizza? This.
Yes.
I want to pick one of the 50 pieces on our giant pizza wheel. Yep. Because behind it, what have we got behind these pieces of pizza?
Amazing prizes behind every pizza. But the one you need to know about is the 10 grand cold hard cash that could be yours.
I feel like they want to hear about the others though.
Okay.
An espresso coffee machine.
Yeah.
Kmart vouchers.
Yeah.
Snuggy.
A month's supply of Dr. Oetker Ristorante pizzas.
Oh my gosh, Disney Plus subscription for a year.
Yeah.
There's awesome stuff here. Plus the 10 grand. Why wouldn't you want to take part?
Register now at carrieandtommy.com.au. We'll get stuck into it very soon.
Up next though, we are going to hear from a woman who is trying to get married to and have a baby with a ghost.
And we've got a live interview with her.
We'll do it next. It's Carrie and Tommy for your Thursday arvo.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy for your Thursday afternoon. And after 4 o'clock, we're going to be joined by your mum, Jenny Bickmore. Vickers, you going to roast her again or?
I regret so many things.
What do you hear about those letters?
Nobody cares about this time.
Oh, I should never have said that on the project at the beginning of the week. No, and I'm being made to pay for it ever since.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And later today.
Yeah.
The tunics.
Thank you.
But right now we're doing this.
Are you married to a ghost?
Yep.
Because poor old Amethyst Realm fell in love with Ray while on holiday in Australia earlier this year. She met him while bushwalking. It was pretty serious. They were going to get married and have a ghost baby. Only things have taken a turn. Mm-hmm. The wedding is off because Amethyst says Ray, the ghost, has become inconsiderate and has been partying and ghosting her. Here's her on Morning TV in the UK.
We've called a wedding off. It was going really well until we went on holiday. That was about last May, and then he just completely changed.
In what
and
way?
Just became so I think maybe he fell in with a bad crowd when we were on holiday. He just started becoming really inconsiderate. He'd disappear for long periods of time. When he did come back, he'd bring other spirits back to the house and they'd just stay around for days.
You really need to get Ray's side of the story, don't you reckon?
Yeah. We did reach out to Ray.
Yeah.
Heard nothing.
No. He ghosted us as well. No. Georgie, are you married to a ghost?
No, I'm not. But when I was in my 20s, I was living up in a hippie commune in Byron Bay and one of the women there married a tree.
Just looking for a root like the rest of us? Then?
Yeah.
I bet you that's the first time she heard that joke as well.
Okay, Georgie, I need details. So
what type of tree
and how did their love story progress?
It was a big eucalyptus that had those beautiful colours through it and blossoms, and he was a strong, strapping tree, one of the biggest, hardest trees on the community.
Georgie, was it you that married this tree?
And her teepee was nearby, and she said that the spirit of the tree would come and talk to her during the night. And anyway, she fell in love with the tree, and she organised a full ceremony. We had a beautiful lunch. There was a marquee set up, like the whole kit and caboodle. Married the tree. I'm telling you the absolute truth. And it was a lovely ceremony, and they were happy.
Did she kiss
for a
the
while.
Tree?
She kissed it. She hugged it. We all put our hands around it and touched it. And it was quite unique.
Did she leave or did he leave?
Well, it was unfortunate. I get it. Took me a second.
What was unfortunate, Georgie?
Well, there was a bushfire.
Oh, gosh. That's taken a turn, hasn't it?
Yeah. She has his ashes still in a box.
Wow. But it would be the only – the box that the ashes are in, are they in a wooden box?
That would be the only person that's got ashes
inside another relative. Okay.
Oh, Georgie, you are fabulous. Yeah. Sarah, that's going to be a hard act to follow. Your story's ghostly. Are you married to a ghost?
It's not me. It's a lady my mum knows. She's actually clairvoyant, so she's no stranger to ghost action. She's in a polyamorous relationship with two ghosts she's married to.
With two ghosts? It could even be a third now. Do the ghosts get it on as well, or is it just
her?
Or is that weird then?
I don't know if that's weird. I never went into details with it because, frankly, I'm not sure how much I really wanted to know about that side of things. She essentially married this the first ghost. His name was James, and she first met him because he was rearranging her shoes. So he's a rearranging shoe ghost.
Did you say his name was James?
James is his name. Yeah.
These are weird. James. So Ray, we got Ghost Ray. We've got Rose Joke. Ghost James.
Do you know what they say? I guess.
Do you know what they say when it comes to loving multiple ghosts?
Oh, God.
They say, any hole's a ghoul.
You're an idiot.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Do you remember back in February, a woman was holidaying in Australia and she was walking through the bush, you know, enjoying nature when she felt this incredible energy.
Yes.
And she knew her new lover had arrived.
Oh, Bachelor?
No, actually, it was Amethyst. Do you remember Amethyst?
Amethyst.
Amethyst Realm was her name.
Is that her realm name? Is Amethyst her name?
Mate, I don't remember Amethyst either, but apparently it was big news in Feb that Amethyst had fallen in love with a ghost while on holiday in Australia.
Had she?
She said it was pretty serious. Serious?
Serious. A ghostess.
So serious they're thinking about having a ghost baby. And she said, I know that sounds crazy, she said, but I've been looking into it and it's not totally out of the question. I just haven't worked out how yet, but I will work that bit out.
Because is having a ghost baby easier than having a human baby?
I'm not sure because I've never met anyone that's had a ghost baby, so I've got no level of comparison.
Okay. Do you know the sound it makes when it comes out?
Yeah. What does it make?
No, it was Jesse.
What sound?
What could you possibly be hoping for here?
The ooh.
Yeah, that was going to be it. Yeah.
Instead of ow. Yeah. That's the difference.
That's what I was going for, yeah.
Yeah. Jesse's never had a ghost baby, so he didn't know the sound.
Do you know, actually, here's something fascinating. Do you know what sound they make when they make love?
Ghosts? What do they make?
Ooh.
Anyway, I've got bad news, guys.
Oh, no. What's
the wedding,
happened?
The wedding's off.
Between Amethyst and what was his name again?
Ray.
Ray.
Ray. I can't believe Ray's the ghost.
She was due to marry Ray, but she said she can't marry him anymore because of his inconsiderate behaviour. Wow, inconsiderate behaviour, yeah. You ask?
Yeah.
She says that he kept disappearing.
No.
The ghost started ghosting her.
This is not
yes,
real.
She said he started partying and taking drugs. Things really went downhill when they went on holiday together.
It'd
and she
so
said he came
to...
back from holiday and he completely changed.
If he got stopped by the cops, it'd be so hard to hide your drugs if you're a ghost. I've swallowed them. I know I can see them.
She was on morning TV in the UK this morning with Holly and Philip. Yeah. And this was her with a complete straight face explaining why the wedding is off.
We've called the wedding off. It was going really well until we went on holiday. That was about last May. And then he just completely changed.
In what way?
So I think maybe he fell in with a bad crowd when we were on holiday. He just started becoming really inconsiderate. He'd disappear for long periods of time. When he did come back, he'd bring other spirits back to the house and they'd just stay around for days.
Just him, a bottle of whiskey and a bottle of vodka?
She said there'd be crashing and banging and strange noises and she couldn't sleep. Anyway, she's devastated and I'm devastated for her because it was going to be the first time I knew of a ghost wedding.
Amethyst is pissed. Do you reckon she made up the name? It sounds like a name where she didn't have a name prepared.
So she called herself Amethyst?
No.
Oh, Ray.
Yes. I feel like they've gone, oh, and this ghost husband, what's his name? And she went,
Ray.
Ray, yeah. Ray, the most common name you could think of.
But we're kind of mocking her a little bit.
Mocking her heaps, yeah.
Yeah, but that's because we don't know anyone that's married to a ghost.
No.
Right? And I feel like you wouldn't mock if you knew someone because, no, you might? Okay.
No, you're right,
Yesterday,
right, maybe it's a lot more normal.
It might be a lot more normal. That there may be some more Amethyst and Ray love stories
out
there.
You are really including everyone in this show.
Yeah, well, yesterday.
Yesterday you were like, you know what, if you marry your brother, that's romantic. And then today you're like, if you have it on with a ghost, good.
No, yesterday we did Who Are You Married To? Because our producer Caitlin said that her friend's parents are both cousins and they're married to each other. Yes. And we took calls and it appears lots of people are married to their cousin.
Yes. What are we
so
doing
today
now?
I want to hear from people who are married to ghosts.
Married to.
13, 10, 60. Maybe it's not as funny as we think. If you're married to a ghost or you have a baby with a ghost, call us.
What about if you're a baby ghost?
Or if you're a baby
obviously
ghost.
Get your parents' permission before you call.
Give us a call. Take your calls next.
Carrie Bigmore
and Tommy Little.
Yes, it is, and we're not far away from Jenny Bickmore joining us on the show again.
Yeah, she every year writes a stunning Christmas letter to the whole family, and Bickmore said, who cares
on national TV?
No one cared.
I honestly feel like I'm back to being a child, a teenager, and I've done something wrong and I'm about to get told off by my mother.
Yep. Well, that's coming up in a bit, so stay tuned.
Speaking of feeling like I'm a teenager.
Yes.
This morning when I was out and about in my walk, I have never been more jealous of a group of teenagers.
What are they doing?
I stumbled across a group of girls a few metres away from a group of guys. They were all wearing onesies, the girls' hot pink onesies, the guys' blue onesies.
Yeah.
And they were ready for fun.
What?
And I was like, I know what's going on there.
Yeah.
That is muck up day. It had muck up day written all over each other.
Yeah, that's how it ends up by the end of it. Sure. Did you chat to him? Did you say, what are we doing?
I just.
Egging? What are we doing? What are we doing?
Water bombs, full of ink? Do you want honesty or do you want how I was planning on telling the story?
Give us the radio version first.
So I was just casually running past, and as I ran past, I went, muck up day, and he was like, yep, and then I kept running and thought, yeah, cool, muck up day. I
mean, let's talk about that. Then what really happened?
I wasn't coming into their direction, but I made sure I would run past their direction, and then I slowed down to a walk, then I had to get my mask out, put my mask on. Yeah. And then pulled my mask down and went, is it muck up day? And the guy was like, yep. And I was like, what do you guys got planned? And then they didn't give me anything. And then I put my mask back off and I ran.
That was their first prank and they nailed it.
And I wished.
What do you guys got planned?
lads, boys. Because growing up, I didn't really. So the craziest thing we did for Muck Up Day was to cut our dress short, and cut some holes in it, and put our hair in pigtails.
What was the theme? Like, was it a Cabbage Patch Doll theme or something for the day?
No, that was just us being cool and fun, going against the rules of the school because we cut our dress, you know, badass.
Yeah. Did you get permission from the school before you did it, though?
I almost think we may have checked that it wouldn't have got us expelled.
Yeah.
That's how goody two shoes we were. Yeah. There were other girls at the school that did things like they completely spray painted all of the roses that, you know, were pruned every however often and manicured. They spray painted them black. They were red. There was plans to dye the whole school pool a different colour.
Yeah.
I wasn't involved in any of those conversations because I couldn't have been because that was just doing the wrong thing. Yeah. I was too busy cutting holes in my dress.
Do you guys need small patches of fabric for anything? Any small bits of dress?
In fact, I've got a photo I'm going to show you later, but I found a photo of me in my short cut-off dress and I didn't look cool at all. Mm. I looked incredibly lame and I regret not doing something for Muck Up Day.
Yes. Well, if it helps, I didn't do anything for Muck Up Day.
Oh, no. I thought you would have been all over it.
No, I got told me and three of my best friends got told if we turned up for Muck Up Day, we would be expelled and we would have to sit our exams elsewhere.
But why? Because you had such a record of doing bad stuff.
Oh, we started egging early.
Every day was Muck Up Day for Tommy.
So, yeah, I was going to say, you already had your Muck Up Day.
We started egging early. We actually had a Muck Up Week at school and we started egging a bit before Muck Up Week.
Who did you egg?
So it would have all been fine until we were driving back home and there was someone from our own school. And anyway, we got caught.
Egging your own...
thinking about it.
completely did it.
And so the four of us got told we were suspended for the week for Muck Up Week and if we turned up, we would be expelled.
So you never got to actually have a Muck Up Day. Did you have a Muck Up Day, Jess?
No, they told us you can't have a Muck Up Day and if you do, like Tommy's, you don't graduate. But they said, you can have a Muck Up Assembly that you can host for the school.
How fun!
Arguably one of the most boring things that ever happened.
Okay. What happens at a Muck Up Day Assembly?
It's
someone doesn't play Advance Australia Fair, they play some other
You just subject them to 2 hours of really boring stuff. And that's it.
Do the students get to do speeches or something? What does
It was just like come up with acts and they're all...
Oh, guess what? We're all facing the other way. You did a talent quest?
Oh, God, if that was me, I would have definitely come up with an act.
There was definitely... Oh, there was definitely...
The girl with the pigtails is doing her fourth song.
A dance to the Spice Girls. That was one of them.
But I feel like I missed out. So I just want to hear from people who either maybe you've had Muck Up Day today. Call us 131060. Yeah. Have you got it? Did you do it a few weeks back? I don't want to hear stories of when you were at Muck Up Day because we know some Muck Up Days can get hectic. We want full respect for each other, that kind of
Muck Up
Day.
You're just making a Muck Up Day assembly again.
That ain't 1060.
I just don't want being mean and cruel.
We're doing a talent quest.
No, we're not. Call it.
Fun Muck Up Day.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little for your Thursday afternoon.
Bit of a tune.
Vanessa, 1,000 miles.
I was jealous of a bunch of school kids today.
Yeah.
They were on their way to Muck Up Day.
Yeah.
I tried to take part. They didn't want a piece of me involved.
Taking part's too much.
I almost offered a photo because I thought then they'd be able to say I got a photo with Carrie
and Muck Up. They didn't even respond to you. They didn't even.
Because if I was a kid, I would have loved that.
But, but they are kids and they didn't.
No, I know. Yeah. That's why they're different to me.
Because you went, what are we doing?
But the point is, I never really did much for Muck Up Day. And these kids look like they were in for a big one. And I want to hear from people. Have you had Muck Up Day today? What did you do for Muck Up Day? You weren't even allowed at your Muck Up Day. Eli, our web producer, was just telling us that at his school, they somehow put.
I don't think you should say that one, mate.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why? Is it an example of what I was asking not for?
I think you
can use
your own judgment.
I didn't want disrespectful calls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Okay. So we won't bring that one to you, Karen. Karen, are you in the middle of Muck Up Day?
No, I'm not in the middle of Muck Up Day, but.
Oh. Yeah, Karen.
Sorry, hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'm not in the middle of Muck Up Day, but my son did have a Muck Up Day, and they went up to the school and they put flour and honey and just a couple of bit of mess, not anything major, but they all weren't allowed to graduate.
Because they made damper.
Of flour and honey?
Yeah, because they made, a little bit of flour and honey, yep.
Oh, so then they didn't graduate, Karen?
They weren't allowed to go to their graduation ceremony. They got their certificates in the mail, but that's it.
Karen, oh, that's cruel.
Yeah, but Karen, and I know this is your son, so you will obviously have rose-coloured glasses, but I didn't do anything bad, but I had a history of doing other things. What I'm saying is your son must have quite the rap sheet.
He had nothing. He was on the SRC. He was like the perfect student. He had just done this Muck Up Day with a group of friends.
That's ridiculous.
And they all, it was. I was so cranky.
Is that what you were looking for, Bickers?
That's exactly what I was looking for, Karen.
Yeah.
What? Why are you looking at me?
Well, because now I'm not sure. Are we meant to be outraged at what we're not allowed to do now?
No, I just didn't want calls from, like, that Sydney school where they were going to do yucky things.
Oh, gross, mate. Well, why?
That's why. I was
that's
just
not
saying
what the people
it.
Do, though.
I know. That's why. I was just putting the disclaimer out there.
Okay.
Karen was perfect. Yep. Narelle, talk to us. Did you have a muck-up day?
I did. My muck-up day was 34 years ago. So back then, it wasn't as strict as it is now. On my muck-up day, we broke into the school early in the morning. Well, we didn't actually break into the building, but they had, like, the courtyards and everything was all fenced off. So we all got up early. We went to the school. We climbed underneath the gates, and we changed everyone's locker. So we moved all the lockers around. So when the students went to school the next day, they wouldn't know where their locker was. And then during the day, we had an egg and a flower fight and all of those sorts of water fights. And so it was pretty full on.
Narelle, that's so that's so great, because I did wonder when I was at school, I wondered why our lockers were numbered. And now...
So they can put them all back.
It was Narelle.
Yeah, it was Narelle.
I know.
But what I don't understand, so is Muck Up Day meant to pay the school back or pay other students? Because that feels like the only people that get... that have to deal with that is the other students in your school. Isn't it the school you're meant to be taking it out on?
As long as someone cops it, who cares?
Yes. Again, why I didn't do so well on Muck Up Day, because I had the wrong attitude.
No, you did. You copped it. You put your own hair in pigtails.
Joe, talk to us. Though or not, like the kids earlier today, didn't want to chat.
Is that your third Muck Up Day?
Joe, are you there?
I can't believe you went back, mate.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Right across the country, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And, I mean, the sweetheart of Australian TV just showed her true colours the other week. I don't know if you heard this at the time, but on the project, Carrie said about these Christmas letters that her dear mum Jenny writes every year, packed full of information,
when
writes
I was
them for
younger,
the whole family.
She stopped now, thank God.
And Carrie said this about it on national TV.
I like that your mum wrote a Christmas letter, like she's the
mate.
Queen.
She did. Yeah. No one cared.
A searing thing to say about your lovely, lovely mum. And we got Jenny on the show to apologise. This is how that went down. Jenny.
Oh, mum, I'm so sorry.
I don't think sorry, mate. Cut to the rule.
And so,
how do we resolve this?
Well, as punishment, you had to get up and retrieve the copies of these Christmas letters. You have done that. And Jenny.
Or, to be fair, just a little caveat, I didn't get up and retrieve
what
them. Sonda, our producer, went.
No. Did you really?
I haven't been up in the attic yet, like mum requested. That's going to take a whole day. I haven't had a whole day yet.
Jenny joins us now. G'day, Jenny.
Hi, good to hear from you.
Have you just heard that Carrie made Sonda get these letters?
I didn't
letters?
Make anybody do anything.
Well, I was definitely partnering crime there, but I would actually like to see them printed out now that she's got me thinking about it.
Well, we have printed them all out, yeah. Mum, and I have taken great, a trip Jen. Down memory lane looking through them all. The overarching feeling I feel, Mum, when I look at them, which is what concerns me, is I feel sad. What? Well, I feel sad from an actual personal level that a lot of the people in these Christmas letters are no longer with us. But more than anything, Mum, I think I a lot of the stuff you shared with people was quite sad.
Like what? What?
Do you remember writing about stuff that was sad?
That wouldn't be predominantly. I mean, stuff happens, doesn't it, really? When you've got a family of five, stuff happens.
Well, you've mentioned, you talk about in one about Paddy, our dog, dying, which was very, very, very
yeah,
sad.
Yeah, but you've got to write about that.
Well, yeah, I think that one's okay. Yeah. But at one
like
point, you talk about how we couldn't sell the house, which I thought, I don't know. It's again, do people want to know that we couldn't sell the house? That feels sad.
Oh, well, I think the more you get to know me, you realise that I'm sort of fairly authentic and, you know, that matters to me, to be real. And if you don't want people being real back to you, then you just stay with, you know, very superficial things.
Good on you, Jen.
Hey, Jen. But one of them, talking about the death of Steve Irwin, Peter Brock and Belinda Emmett. That's the beginning of the Christmas letter. And I was like, that was such a sad year, reflecting on those three beautiful people we lost.
Well, that's the thing. And I sent over 100 letters internationally.
Is that right?
So we always tried to, don't forget Brian and I are writing these. We're always trying to contextualise it for people and, you know, position Australia, try and explain where we were and what we were doing.
I guess, like you talk about how your friends came to visit at one time to see the WO wildflowers and because of the drought they didn't get to see any wildflowers. I thought that was a peculiar thing to write, but through the lens you're saying that's your way of showing the rest of the world there's drought.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I'm definitely doing something that's a sort of public service.
Jenny, I loved this is from the 2006 Christmas letter and you've said, Carrie has enjoyed her regular spot on Rove, and then in brackets you've written TV, but isn't planning on giving up her day job as a newsreader for Nova 100. She gets called upon to host fundraisers and has a modest fan club. I loved it.
What about the one Mum talks about how you were on Rove? Well, there's a bit where you were on the Mother's Day Rove. Do you remember that?
Oh, that was wonderful. Wasn't that wonderful?
Says,
did I have Eric Banner? Was Eric Banner there that time? Who was there next?
That's right. I don't remember.
I'll see if Eric Banner gets a mention in the Christmas letter here.
Okay,
because the headline is simply Mother's Rule! And then it said, Mother's Day this year was extremely memorable as national television saw Rove's team move over for their mothers. Jenny took Carrie's place and read her satirical news. As patron of the Media Standards Association, Jenny was tensely poised to maintain quality control if Rove set up random pranks. A great experience to laugh about, .. afterwards.
Jenny. Oh, don't you remember that? I remember it must have been somewhere, well, obviously it's Mother's Day, and we were driving. I remember being in the back of the car. I must have been with you and would have been Greg, would it? It would have been, wouldn't it? And there was this whole thing. I was packing it because I thought he's going to ask me a question. He's going to ask me something I'm going to be really, really, you know, ashamed about, or, you know, because some of the stuff they made you read was very lucky.
No, I know. Remember Grandpa used to email me every Monday to give me his thoughts on what he liked and what was too far.
Oh, dear. Lots of people would let me know too, don't worry.
I bet they still do.
Jen, I did notice something interesting about the Mother's Rule. You've written, saw Rove's team move over for their mothers. Jenny took Carrie's place. But, Jenny, weren't you writing this? Couldn't you just write, I took over Carrie's place?
No, because I'm writing on behalf of the family. And Don't forget that as they grew older, they did their own little newsletters, and I had one of Claudia's that I found, actually.
Oh, you know what's so funny about Claudia? In one of them, my sister, you mentioned that her investment property increased 20%. Mum. Hey, anyway, Jenny. I actually am sorry, because looking back on these, I realise these are snapshots of our life along the way. That your memory like erases so much of this, and I'm really glad we've got them. So good on you, Mum.
Little bit of history recorded.
You're a lot wiser than I am.
Jenny, just before we let you go, I thought, obviously, Carrie's realised the worth of these letters, and it's obviously a tradition you'd probably love to pass down in the family. Do you think maybe this Christmas Carrie should do the first one, the first Christmas letter that she writes?
Well, I think it's already come down to her, because she does an annual one of those beautiful snapfish or whatever they are.
Photo books.
And so she does that in the sort of 21st century way of doing it.
But the difference, Mum, is I keep it in my home. I don't send it to 100 people.
Thanks, Jen.
Okay, bye.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Right across the country, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
You know what? The internet sometimes really gives me the shit.
Oh, no, what's happened?
I've been doing quite a bit of internet shopping.
Have you?
As the rest of the country has.
Yes.
There's nothing else to do.
No.
No. I've been buying things that I didn't even know I needed.
Of course. I buy them drunk and then forget I bought them, and then I will try and tell the delivery man I don't think this... Oh, it is for me. Okay.
But that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
That's like a little surprise in the morning.
My drunken tastes aren't great.
What are you getting?
I go loud.
Oh, you got tattoo gum. Two of them, in fact.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. And you've not used one of them.
What have you bought?
But anyway, sometimes I buy something I actually need, like this item I'm about to show you.
Okay.
Tell me what it is that I bought, a bargain, I might add, what I bought.
I am looking at here, I am looking at some kind of thing that you would see on like a Shark Tank, where they go and go, I've changed the average hanger, and now it hangs 5 shirts in sideways. Why would anybody ever need this? It's a multifunctional clothes rack, foldable, telescopic, no-trace hanger. Oh, my God. You paid $100 for this piece of junk.
Hold on. What do you think I'm buying there?
The hanger. This thing that hangs the shirts off.
Oh.
Is that it?
Oh, I thought I was buying the whole contraption.
Who even needs to hang their shirts that way?
Oh, so
they're not going to fit in anything.
But you know there that I'm just buying a white hanger.
This is like, hey, if you've got one of those cupboards that goes across the length of your room instead of just like normal ones.
This is not where I thought it was going to go. See, the thing is, I thought I was buying an entire wooden clothes rack with that white hanger on it. And so when I only got the white hanger in the mail, I thought for $100, I've got a white hanger instead of the full wooden clothes rack. But did you never think you were going to buy the wooden clothes rack there?
No, because then the description would be something like wooden clothes rack. But here it says the colour is milk white.
Okay, but do you ever spend time looking at the description? You just look at the picture and then buy it?
No, that's the heading of what the item is. So, like, why wouldn't you think you were buying the T-shirts there?
Well, I didn't because good question.
All I got
for $100 was a white hanger.
Did you think you were buying the curtains in the background?
No, I thought I was buying the wooden
The wooden coffee table with it?
I did. Because I Googled wooden storage racks. Mate, so why did a white hanger come up?
I don't know, but it doesn't say anything about anything wooden.
No, it doesn't. Give it back to me.
In fact, it says
I thought you were going to be outraged with me, but instead you've just humiliated me. You can have that white hanger because it's no use to me because I don't have a rack to put it on.
I don't. You could sell that to someone for just under $100.
$97.25.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Right across the country, Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Doing one marathon is nuts.
You would know.
It's the worst thing I ever did. But doing 50 in 50 days is crazy by itself. But to do it for an amazing cause means it's an absolutely awesome thing to do. That was a challenge in front of Ned Brockman. He has just completed his 46th marathon
21
today.
Year old.
21 years old. Only started running 12 months ago. And it's all to raise money for the Red Cross to do amazing work helping the homeless population. And he joins us now. G'day, Ned.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Mate, who cares? How are you?
Thanks for having me on. Mate, I'm good. I'm going well. I'm high spirits, almost there, mate.
How have you not broken down?
I've almost been there mentally, but I've gotten through it and here I am. So I'm on the home stretch now, so
Ned, the amount of talk and stress that was in the lead up to Tommy's one marathon he ran, and then the conversation that was had about that one marathon for the months to follow. Yeah. How have you done it back to back to back to back? Like, you don't even give yourself time to process the one you've just done before you're doing the next one.
It was probably 30-day mental breakdown prior to starting, because I was just, you know, having to get mentally prepared for what I was about to do to my body. But yeah, once I got into it, I just realized that, you know, I've got to back them up. So whether the sun goes up, sun goes down, I still have to run a marathon. So you just do it.
How long do they take you each day?
The first few weeks were a bit slow, but they're taking me about 3.5 hours to, 3:20 to 3.5 hours.
Wow.
Ned, I assumed you were doing, you know, 6 hour marathons here.
I work 7 to 3, so I've got to after work, bang it out. So
obviously not a physical job, though. You must just be sitting at a computer. What do you do for a job?
I'm an electrician, so I get a few steps out before I go to do the run.
Your body's not living past 22, mate.
Oh, mate, I've gone out. I'll go out on a bang then anyway.
Ned, can you talk us just through your day by day? I mean, you've mentioned that you've got to do the run. So before work?
No, so it's a bit of a hard run, because I start work at 6:30, which means I'd have to start at 2, which would really just ruin my day.
Sure.
I wake up 5:30, get to work by 6:30, get home at about 3:15, joggers on 3:30, and I'm out the door starting by about 3:45 every day. And then I run, finish, get a photo, then I go and hop in the ice bath, drink a chocolate milk and do it all again.
Mate, how is what are you putting into your body in terms of when people run marathons? There is obviously support stations on the way. They've usually worked out their nutrition beforehand to make sure it doesn't mess with their body. What are you doing?
Yeah, so the first week was a bit of a trial, but now I don't even carry food. I just, you know, have a bit of water. Yeah, like the body's a miraculous thing. It just adapts if you tell it to not quit.
21 it is.
That's right. But, yeah, it's just crazy how I've just adapted and now I'm able to do without eating any food during the run.
I'm intrigued what you listen to when you run for 3.5 hours, Ned, because I can imagine you've been through every playlist you've ever – listened to every song ever made.
Well, it's a funny one because I actually – in a weird way, almost torture myself. I use it as like a cheat almost. So like if the run gets hard, I, you know, say like the last 5K of a run, if I'm really not enjoying it, I just put a bit of music in. So I haven't really listened to much music at all. It's just been very trying to talk to the people around me or just talk to myself. And what? Then,
your own head while running.
I can't believe that's the point where you decided it was nuts.
No, I just, it's all nuts. But I just thought music's the only thing that can get me through my 5Ks that I do once a week.
But you know what I mean? If all I did was play music every, you know, from the start, I'd never have anything to like enjoy at the end. So I just, use it almost as like a cheat.
Talking about the end is nigh. Yeah. You only have 4 more marathons to go. What are you going to do for the last one?
So it's in Centennial Park in Sydney. So I'm going to, I'm hopefully going to go sub-3 hour. That's my plan.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and then is there going to be a big celebration at the end?
Yeah, so there's all my friends and family and everyone who's kind of been a part of it. I've invited everyone down, so it should be a nice little way to finish. But hopefully I can finish in the 2:59 time slot.
Ned, can I just take you back to the beginning for one sec?
Yeah.
What made you want to do it in the first place?
Yeah, so I love it challenging myself, and I did a few longer runs prior to this, and I then thought, right, what's next? So we went with the 50 and 50, and then I've noticed in Sydney, like moving to Sydney, because I'm from a country town in Western New South Wales, I've noticed that like homeless is really prevalent here in Sydney, especially in like the city, and I thought I'd love to help out. In some way, and obviously I'm going to gain a lot of traction doing what I'm doing. So, and this is what I came up with.
And your original goal was $50,000 going to the Red Cross. Yep. So do great work. Where's it at now?
We're at 55,000. So it's just mind blowing. The support I've got is just unbelievable.
But what's your new target?
70 now.
Okay. Yeah. Jesse, how can people go on and try and get Ned up to 70? You deserve every bit of that 70, Ned. You're a true champion. We can't wait to hear when you finish.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate that a lot.
If you want to support Ned, jump online at Carrie Tommy Show. We'll chuck the link up on our socials.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's Thursday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. We got Hughesy and Ned in as well.
There he is.
It's not often I agree with you, Hughesy, but I agreed with you multiple times throughout today. I was horrified that a bit of grass was being taken all the way from Melbourne to Queensland so that a bit of the MCG was at the Gabba for grand final. And you seemed horrified by that too.
Yeah, initially I thought it was very wasteful. That's what I'm going to go with.
100 grand, you said it was going to cost?
That's a guesstimation. I can only imagine to deliver
it. Oh, is that a guess? I thought you must have. I've been quoting that to people because I saw you post that.
No, I just came in here and told us that. It cost 100 grand. Well, I don't know how much it costs. I'm just said.
Are you spreading misinformation on Twitter?
People always accuse me of spreading misinformation if it's not what they agree with, basically.
It's just not factual, that's all.
What's your position now? No, look, there's a true, I did put that out there saying that's too much money to be spending and it was a guesstimation on how much it would cost, but they want to keep the grass alive, so it's going to cost a fair bit of money to take it from Melbourne to Brisbane and then plant it on the ground for the AFL Grand Final. No, I'd imagine they wouldn't bring it back.
Well, they might be.
Don't laugh at that. It's ridiculous that they're just
If it can go one way, why can't it go back and then do a national tour?
And also, you can't have a bit of the MCG missing, can you?
So that's going to cost 200
Yeah, well, I imagine.
You better tweet that.
You know, and probably does want to have a holiday once it gets up there. Wants to have a
holiday. $2.5 million
Yeah, he won't want to come back to after Christmas. Exactly. So,
but what have you discovered throughout the day?
Well, Tim Gossage, Perth reporter, Channel 10 reporter.
He said, I know Tim well. He's a personality.
Yes. He said that Rebel Sport, they're paying for it because it's an ad for Rebel Sport. So then
are you
getting
kickbacks for all the coverage?
Well, that's what I thought. Well, I thought maybe if Rebel Sport are paying for it and they're also probably giving the AFL extra money, that, you know, the AFL might be able to actually employ more people after the slab of land gets delivered.
So you're on board now.
So I did a backflip. Yeah.
Oh, no. Not another backflip.
It's only my first backflip.
We'll deal with that backflip in our show at some point, I'm sure, because, you know what it is, guys? It's a moving feast with him. He believes one thing vehemently.
I know. One tweet,
and then he's like he never said it, and he's back where he started.
You know what?
And then we go round and round and round and round and round.
What I do need to know is, I heard the start of your show. Did Tommy get the tent up in time or not?
Oh yeah,
yes, absolutely.
I mean, you wouldn't. Well, hold on. It's not a tent that you'd want to sleep in.
Could you sleep in it?
Exactly.
Could you sleep in it? Could you sleep in it?
You could sleep in it, not in a storm.
On a balmy night where you're happy to see the stars, it's up.
Yep.
All right.
Well, so it's got no roof.
Well,
no, it's got a roof on it.
No, it's just the wind. Yeah.
It doesn't. You're not. Your whole body wouldn't be underneath.
Your whole body. Got to make a choice. Right. What do you want? What do you want to keep? What do you want kept dry? Still better than I would have done.
Stick around.
Have a great one, guys.
Don't be sad that the Carrie and Tommy podcast is over. Just pour some sunshine and share it around with Golden Circle. A funny and sunny good day with everyone. Golden Circle. Share sunshine.